Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us so much. God has so many wonderful things to say to His people, and I mean wonderful things to say to His people who love Him, who share His love, who live with the intentions of loving others. The Lord relates to people of that caliber. And He can share more with people who have His heart, who share His convictions. See, the Lord is not just the way Satan portrays Him and the world, the worldly image of God. In the world acts just like Adam did when he sinned. He ran from the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day. He was dressed in those fig leaf. He made garments of fig leaves to hide his private parts. He was ashamed of being naked. The world still runs from the Lord. And while they're on the run, the enemy give them evil ideas about God because they don't know Him anyway. And He don't want them to ever know them. Because when man gets united with God, Satan knows what's going to happen. They will defeat him, and they'll be the master. Satan don't want the average Joe to be his master. He don't want your children to be his master. He don't want the servants to be his master. Now this was when Peter said this is that, talking about what Joel spoke, prophesied. That this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And then he said your servants will prophesy. This was not just a blow to the Jewish mind, the proud mind. See, people, religious people can become very proud and conceited in their ways. Now your children are going to prophesy. They were struggling to believe that Jesus was the prophet because he came from their own hometown. See, the proud mind don't want to associate itself personally with somebody that can do something that they can't. This is how the proud mind operates. So, when Jesus went to other towns beside Nazareth, they accepted him. They didn't see him grow up. But the people that saw him grow up in their village. Oh no! This is Joseph's son, the carpenter. They couldn't believe it. Pride will blockade you from good reason. So, people, they just couldn't accept him being the Messiah from their own hometown. He got to come from somewhere, and it's prophesied that he would come from where he did. And his parents moved to Nazareth, and he grew up there. Nobody would ever look for him in Nazareth. The king tried to kill him and killed a lot of other people trying to kill him. Herod did the same thing Pharaoh did, because the same devil that was on Pharaoh was on Herod. So, and the same devil that caused Adam's fall and his guilty, shameful conduct, causing him to dress up in fig leaves and run from the voice of God in the cool of the day, is the same devil that's trying to attack your children and keep them disconnected. But see, when your sons and daughters prophesy and the servants and slaves prophesy, that's not just a blow to the Jewish mind, to the carnal religious mind. It's also a blow to Satan, because everything we do is recorded. So Satan don't want your sons and daughters to overtake him. You know, I knew a guy, he went to prison, and he told about a saying. In prison, you know, the guards have the guns, you know. But they said it's hard to have fun when the rabbit's got the gun. You know, if one of the inmates got the gun, now it's trouble. If they get the keys and the guns, then the whole thing's in trouble. Well, that's how it is with Satan. He can, as long as he can dupe people from knowing God, he can seem to have the upper hand, and he can do his dirt in the darkness. Satan works in the darkness where people are ignorant, where people are are unqualified, when they're unskilled, when they're disconnected from God. Not only that, now among the Christian community, when you could be a Christian and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can be able to preach, and knowing God can be something else. Just because you, even if you do a great move of God, if you're part of a great move of God, that don't mean you know Him. See, there were prophets in the days of Moses and John, and when Joshua came to him, Moses, they're prophesying. He said, I wish they all prophesied. See, what Moses spoke is the same thing Joel spoke. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. He said, don't be jealous for me. I wish they all prophesied. Look it up. Also, when Moses married his Ethiopian wife, there was murmuring and complaining. We hear from God too. But see, Moses knew God. The other prophets didn't know God. They needed Moses. They could operate in the gift, but that don't mean you know God. See, a lot of times things, the enemy works against things every which way he can. Daniel pointed out that they that do know the Lord will be strong. Not those that are his, not those that belong to God. A lot of people that are saved are not strong. They're bordering the edge of hell already. One scripture said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the sinner be? I mean, come on. People are, a lot of times people don't know God's ways. They don't know it. They can receive a message and preach it. They can learn. They know something about God. They know that He's good. Every Christian know He's good. Everybody that receives salvation know He's good. But that don't mean that they know Him. And see, the Lord knows a problem that exists. In 1991, when He said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. Now, when He said that, that includes what happens when you follow God? What happens when you have a relationship with Him? We didn't just see Jesus practicing miracles and feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, walking on water. He did all those things, but every day, in every chance He got, even in the middle of the night when He had to, He would go spend time with His Father. And He didn't do anything of His own self. He didn't do anything of His own initiative. He did the Father's will. He's our model. How can you represent God if you don't know Him? Well, some people say, well, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues. Well, good for you. That's a wonderful thing to happen for anybody that will receive it. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. How often do you commune with the Holy Spirit and receive His vision and the protocols that He will give you and follow it through? How often do you go in His presence and just talk to Him and spend time alone with Him? Are all of your opinions shaped by what you've seen other men and women of God do? Or no matter how often you preach, how often do you go spend time with your Father and commune with Him? How long in prayer? Now, I do it. My pastor does it, Pastor Jim IV. He said most of his praying is listening. How many people can say that? The Lord will give you protocols when you do His perfect will, when you speak His word, when you know what He has to say, when you hear Him out. The Lord can speak to you and tell you things. Now, when that element is missing, you will not know God face to face. You will not understand Him intimately. See, we grow up as children. We present ourselves the way we want to be known. That's the problem. We present ourselves the way we want to be known and understood. I know because I was a child and I grew up in a loving Christian home. Never saw my parents fighting fuss. I thought every marriage was like theirs. But I was wrong. I thought a lot of things. Because from my point of vision, my point of view, my point of vision, I thought that what they did was a standard. You know, I thought the things that they did was normal. I thought it was normal for a couple to have a ministry together. And my dad was, he pastored the church, and my mother, she assisted him perfectly. I mean perfectly. Never ever complained. Never heard her say an ugly word. I thought this was normal. And they worked full-time jobs. And my dad worked the kind of job, when you get off, you want to go home and sit down. He would take a shower at work. He worked at U.S. Pipe in North Birmingham, Collegeville. And he worked in the rock wool section, where they make rock wool. And he'd take a shower, and he'd come home, and every day he'd rinse his car off, because the car get dirty out there. And that. And he kept his car up. He just rinsed it off. He didn't wash it. He'd wash it real good, or have it washed, and then he'd rinse it every day. And he'd feed the birds. And while he's doing all this, he'd hum a song. He'd always be humming. And just content. Then he had to go to Utah, Alabama every weekend. Well, he did all of these things. Not once in my life did I ever hear him or my mother complain about all the activity that they used to do every day. And I thought that was normal. And for a long time, I thought that's just what you do when you love God. I thought it was normal. So when I got saved for once, I said, I want to know the Lord. They didn't tell me how the Lord would tell them things. I thought God didn't talk to people. So I became one of the first people in my family to just acknowledge that God would talk to you. But my great-grandfather did. J.R. Knowles wrote a book. He had a relationship with the Lord. Now, all the time I was a teenager, they tried to get me to read that. I wouldn't read the book. I always did something else. Wish I had done it. If I had read it, my life may have been different. A lot of stupid stuff I wouldn't have done. I would have started seeking the Lord that my grandfather knew, because he acknowledged that God, how the Lord worked in his life. He was about to get married one time, and the Lord spoke to him and said, and he knew that the Lord knows your heart, you know, he knows what's important to you. He knew that he wanted his children to be well educated. And the Lord spoke to him and said, You know, one day I'll read this excerpt from his book. But I'll have to find it right now. I just thought of this. But the Lord said, now his book is called Freeborn Slave. My sister had it published. Thank God for my sister. She had it published. Out of all the cousins and everybody, she had it published. And a lot of people are blessed by it. And but anyway, he said, the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "You're not educated, and she's not educated." Talking about his fiance. How will your children be educated? So he called the wedding off. And then he one day he met Lena Hill. Actually, he went with a friend of his to see her, but he ended up marrying her. And on the way home, they caught a possum. You know, they talk about all this. It's a very interesting read. I mean, really, it's awesome. And Freeborn Slave by J.R. Knoll. His name is Jasper Rasmus Knoll. And but anyway, he got married. And my grandmother was one of his daughters. And this man started a high school in West Blockton. He talks about that. He had a mail route, and he delivered mail, and people trusted him to carry large amounts of money. And he always got the money to where it was supposed to go. But with his mail route, he started his own business. He sold ink along the way. He'd buy a thing of ink for a nickel, And he'd get five bottles and make five bottles of ink and sell each one for a nickel. And he mounted his money up. He owned a store. And he started a newspaper. And he put all of his children through college, including my grandmother. She became an educator, a teacher. And the lady he almost married, she married a man, and he had, I think, five children. His wife may have died or something. But they had no children together. See, the Lord knew this. And he told him, you know, he was about to marry a barren woman. Not that God couldn't have opened her womb. And God loves that barren woman, whoever she was. But the Lord, he directed his paths. Because now you hear the gospel preached by somebody that was guided by the Holy Spirit. See, I didn't know how wonderful being guided by the Holy Spirit was. It just, when we go to heaven and we hear the stories of our loved ones that's gone before, you know, they're going to tell their stories. It's going to be amazing how the Holy Spirit helped us come to be, how he helped us come to salvation. People, we're going to find out that he raised people up to preach the gospel, to get people in our generation saved. But see, when people are not communing with God, a lot of things are lost. A lot of moves of God are lost in the terrible banks of tradition, in religious confusion. See, the Holy Spirit can't rest on things that's not right. If you don't have a relationship with God, then when the Lord tells you to do something that's necessary, that's not the time to put your running shoes on and your fig leaf outfit and run from God in the cool of the day. And that's precisely what's going on. Just because people are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they believed on Jesus, and they preach, they struggle to get healed. They struggle for finances because they somewhere along the way of their life, they put their fig leaf outfit on and their running shoes, and they're running from God in the cool of the day. That's why the moves of God don't come to perfection. And the people who put on their tennis shoes, their running shoes, so they can run from God in the cool of the day, and their fig leaf outfit, so they can run from God in the cool of the day, when God tells them to do something important, there they go. They running with their fig leaves flapping. But they're not doing what God told them to do. It's a sin of omission. They're not doing something. When the Holy Spirit guides you, you're responsible to see it through. And people who run from him, guess what happens to their advice against other people that are running toward God? They're going to tell them not to do it every time. 100% of the time, they tell them no. They don't say it like in defiance. They say it in ignorance, trying to help. If salvation is not important, for instance, people that's not saved, they have no way of valuing salvation. You can't see it. They didn't taste it. They didn't taste and see that the Lord is good. They don't know what they're talking about. And they see their children, their teenage children, going to church instead of going to the club, and they start getting concerned, calling their friends. The enemy's getting a network together to try to bring that child back to the world. Their advice is dead. Their persuasion is also dead, just as lukewarm or confused as they are. And they don't see. But see, when the child breaks through all that, see, the Lord showed us when he told Abraham to leave his father's house, his kindred, and his nation. Every child of God that come to Jesus got to do the same thing. You got to believe God over your father's house. You got to believe God over your kindred. You got to believe God over your nation. When all these folks are saying no, you got to say yes. When they're running the opposite direction with their running shoes on and their fig leaves flapping, you got to break through and go where God will show you. And literally, he's going to take you to a land made without hands. In fact, it's the same land that God was showing Abraham to go look at. He showed him Canaan land. See, the New Jerusalem's going to come. And you're going to be a part of it. But first, you got to do this very same thing Abraham did. When it comes to poor advice from your father's house, when it comes from poor advice from your kindred, the people you love the most, your friends, family, when it comes from the poor advice of your nation, you got to go with God. While they running from the Lord with their tennis shoes on, they got their tennis shoes tight and their fig leaves flapping in the wind. You got to go with God. Now, people wouldn't expect Christians to be negative. They're not trying to be negative. People that's blood washed don't want to be negative. Jesus said, my people hear me. They know my voice and they follow me. Okay. And that's perfectly true. But when they don't know better, they don't, you know, sometimes you have unction that, hey, this is of God. But some people will override that and give their opinion, which is fig leaf opinion. You don't want fig leaf opinions ever. Even people that have done great moves, I've seen people prophesy things to me, and then the natural tell me to do the opposite. So, or another way. But you have to see it through. And you have to do precisely what the Holy Spirit gives you. That's where you're going to hit the mark. That's where the target is. That's what Satan's afraid of. So anybody that'll side with him, he'll use them. Now, in order to know God, you got to go back to what David said. You got to know him. You can be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, preach, prophesy, work miracles, and not know God. So when the Lord was telling me to go in with this very unpopular message about following God, at first I thought it would be well received. In fact, I thought people were already doing it, but I found out something. I did these things by faith and because I made a vow. Because when I began to obey God, the only reason I followed through with it is because I made a vow, not because I'm such a hero. In those days, I wanted to put my running shoes on and do it my way. And if I did, if I didn't make that vow, I probably would have put my fig leaf garment on with my fig leaves flapping in the wind, running from the order of God. But I had a vow that I would obey him. This is how I felt when the Lord told me to go and tell his pastors to follow him. I felt like I was going to tell him to take a bath. That's something you know to do. And here I am, but I had evidence. The Lord gave me a word at home. I get to church, he's preaching it. Then I give him a message about following God. You know, I felt like walking up to the man, hey, you need to wash your face in the morning, take a bath. You know, everybody know that you don't do people like that. But the Lord was after something much greater, a relationship. Look at what David said. Psalm 15. He was thinking, now David being a warrior that he was, and I imagine, and I, you know, in my setting, this is just my imagination, I imagine him being on the battlefield, looking around at all the people, you know, people, birds of the feather flock together, so do people. And different warriors go to the tents of others, you know. So David's saying, well, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then the Lord answered. And this is the Lord talking. Every word from 2 on down, the Lord speaks. He said, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes of our person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. See, when you spend time with the Father, you learn things of the Father. And you don't need the nasty fig leaf garment. You don't need your confusion. You don't need dead opinions. You can take your running shoes off and walk around in his velvet grass. You're at home. You don't have to run anymore. Jesus told the woman at the well, you drink my water, you won't thirst again. You spend time with your Father, you learn details. You learn to do what God is doing. But everything else is fig leaf business. So, you have to get to know your Father. And that's not happening sometimes. Sometimes people are presumptuous in their ways. They think that they got this. And the enemy will oblige you. Jesus put it this way. He said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would desire that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now watch this, verse 13. This is what I want to get to. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life. And few there be that find it. Now I found out something as I made that vow to obey God and I started acting on his word. I started learning things far beyond my years. Let me put it another way. I learned things far beyond my decades. That's 10 years. I even learned things far beyond my century. Some things I don't think I would have learned in this lifetime had I not sought after the Lord. And I learned things from, I received knowledge of what he sees. The word of God gives you a God's eye view, and so does the Holy Spirit as you obey him. I saw the needs. See, when God tells you to do something, it sets something up for another glory to happen. In that glory, you're going to learn things, and you're going to be rewarded for getting there. And see, it's just like a pastor who preaches God, who do it God's way. Well, God's going to send people. He was faithful with the few. He's going to send others because he knows where the pastor is. He knows how to get the people there. A mathematician said once that he gave a statistic. He said everybody is about four people away from anybody. You name anybody in the world, you know somebody, know somebody, know somebody, know them. Okay, God can easily get the right people to you. But first, you got to be faithful with his glory right now. And don't compromise. When you start compromising, you cut everything off. And you're going to live in that phase for the rest of your days. Or God's going to fire you because you're too hard-headed. Some people are fired from some glories. They'll never get that chance again. They can only be faithful with where they're at because they wouldn't. You have to develop. The Lord will help you develop into the next glory. And then to the next. And then to the next. Well, if you stop somewhere and the people that he was going to bring went somewhere else, that's over for you. That's not going to happen anymore. You were too late and you were too busy running from God with them fig leaves. You took another path. You didn't stay with the narrow path. This is not against your salvation, but it is against your work and your ministry. Some visitations, sometimes you're just going to have to make that Rebecca choice. It's only one visitation you're going to get for some things, for some glories. And I'm not talking about vainglory. I'm talking about godly glory. See, when Kenneth Hagin, he helped the church enter into the glory of faith. All right, Charles Capps helped us enter into the glory of speaking faith. Because first, Kenneth Hagin taught faith. Then Charles Capps could tell us how to apply it. All right, if Kenneth Hagin didn't teach us faith, then Charles Capps came to do it. He would have had to do the groundwork first. These men did what they were supposed to do, but there are greater glories to attain. And God can't give it to anybody. He has to give it to people that share his heart. He has to give it to people that will come to his tent, the type of people he can invite to his tabernacle. He has to give it to people who are sincere and dedicated and humble. When you're humble, you'll carry out God's orders. I had to make myself carry them out because I had them out. But I found out, I said, man, I would have run the other way if I didn't promise God I'd obey him. I believe all the apostles that I met that are real apostles, they tried to put them tennis shoes on, except for the one in Mississippi. I don't know if he tried that or not. And I mean, my good friends, they have the anointing. They can't hide it, but they don't acknowledge it. They don't say what they are. They'll say they're a prophet or a pastor, but they put them shoes on, and then when they start running, them fig leaves are flapping. When you go to God, you just have to be what he called you to be. And let it be. Learn from it. That's the only way you can get to the greater glories. And the people need you. Generations need you. So everybody who hear this broadcast, take it to heart. Stay in the prayer room. Wherever you are, have a listening ear to God. Get rid of the fig leaves and the running shoes. Stick with the plan of God diligently. Be Satan's fear. Run him off. Let him run with his fig leaf garments and running shoes on. But you stick with the plan of God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. In Jesus.